Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all.
Best monster.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Hey, Hal.
Yeah?
Do you know what time it is?
Noon?
12. Well, we're about to talk about something scary, so.
Oh, the witching hour?
It's time to send the little ones to dreamland.
Oh,
come on.
Not familiar.
Come on, spooky
Hal. Not familiar.
All right. That's a different podcast.
I get the big money for that.
Oh, please. Right.
I don't just throw out spooky Hal out in public.
Oh my God.
Daddy's got to feed the kids. You know what I mean?
Sure. You don't have kids,
but I could someday.
That's fair.
To have a child at some point.
Of all of the bit pimping that I've asked you really shamelessly to do on this show, mm-hmm. surprise, Spooky Hal was the first no that I got.
I'm just feeling feisty.
That's fair.
It's
It's Oscar Sunday. We're talking about monsters, and who better to come on the show and talk about monsters with us than Sarah Morgan and Jordan Morris. Hello, dear Max Fun friends.
Hi. Good to be here. And just I want to clarify before we get into the podcast, Hal, are you referring to yourself as Daddy now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying it out.
Yeah, no, and I'm happy to try it out with you, Daddy.
There you go.
Mm.
Using it as a moniker is weird.
It's growing on me.
Like, I could say that Hal's a total daddy, or Hal's a total zaddy.
Right. Yeah. Zaddy seems more appropriate.
Yeah. Wait, what's a zaddy?
It's like a turbo daddy. It's like you would, instead of saying, this is a young person's internet lingo thing, so I could be getting this wrong, but as far as I understand it, you say, you know, if a daddy presents themselves,
sure,
you could say damn daddy, but if someone's up a notch, you know, if they're a little juiced, you would say zam zaddy. Why you would say that, unclear.
I think this is
where my knowledge of the thing stops.
Yeah, I'll throw in as someone who has a child and is married to a daddy, it is astonishing how unsexy that word. The amount of times a day you find yourself saying a phrase like, daddy's coming in the room now. Daddy wants you to get in the bath. Yeah.
Try Zaddy. Zaddy wants you to get in the bath now.
I might adopt Zaddy.
Well, Zaddy's home, everybody. I'm ready to podcast.
That's right.
Zaddy, can we go to Legoland?
You know it, baby.
Jordan,
Zaddy always says yes to Legoland.
Oh, I'm leaving now.
I love you. I love you more than Zami.
Is she still seeing Steve?
Yeah, that's new Zaddy.
Step Zaddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Step Zaddy. Step Zaddy. Yeah. Well, we had you on the show today to talk about monsters, and you are uniquely qualified to talk about monsters. Tell us a little bit about Bubble.
Yeah, so Bubble is Sarah and I's upcoming graphic novel that we wrote for the great artist Tony Cliff, who does the Delilah Dirk series, and Natalie Reese on Colors, who does the Dungeon Critters series. It is a sci-fi comedy with many a monster, also a few robots, a lot of sex jokes. Maybe the elevator pitch for the thing would be a search party meets Guardians of the Galaxy, if you could imagine such a monstrosity. it's based on the Max Fun podcast. So if you heard the podcast, there's a lot of stuff you'll recognize, but also a ton of new stuff. And if you didn't hear the podcast, no worries. It's a self
go listen to
thing.
It.
Yeah, listen to it. Listen
it's
to
great.
It.
It's great.
And the book is available for pre-order now. And speaking of the podcast, our very own Mark Gagliardi does a couple voices in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I had a blast doing it.
I think you're, who are you? You're like a jacked gym guy who's,
Well, that's my typecasting.
Who do we
Jim
get?
Zaddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a gym zaddy. It's a world of monsters. And we saw that you guys wanted to come on and talk about monsters, but it's such a wide open topic.
Yeah.
The idea of monsters. So rather what we usually do on the show a lot of times is if we have something where we're choosing the best of a group of things is we will have a list and we will pour over the list really dive in. For this, however, since a list of monsters would be 50 miles long throughout all of time, I'm wondering, I will pitch an approach, which I think maybe figuring out what exactly a monster is and then finding the monster that best represents what the ideal version of a monster is historically.
I listened to that, the excellent episode you did a few years ago with the Riff Trax folk about the best movie monster. And it was very specifically what Universal call monsters, which controversially I would not call monsters. Things like it includes vampires and mummies and things that, I don't know, I think, and I did spend a long time listening to that episode going, what is a monster then? Because I don't think Freddy Krueger is a monster. I think he's a ghost. Or humanoid, but there's a lot of things that I wouldn't classify. And then I realized that this is obviously the conversation. And I started writing what I thought was a monster. And I think I would love to talk about how you even define a monster.
Is what you're saying that you think something that is recognizably human, something with basically human features, shouldn't count as a monster?
That is my pitch. My pitch is that if it's sort of human-shaped, if it's a vampire, if it's possibly a werewolf. I don't know if a werewolf comes under monster, but I would say definitely has to be designed by a team of nerds somewhere. Has to be some kind of design in there. Because, you know, someone says the best monster, you think the best design monster, the most original monster, like was it made by Rick Baker, Rob Bataan, or Jim Henson's Creature Workshop? Was it, you know, it's not just a bloke with fangs or, you know, someone in zombie makeup. To me, this is my pitch.
Ask you this, Sarah. Yeah. Let's dig into this. Zaddy's curious.
Oh, gosh.
I'm liking it more and more, honestly. I'm liking it more and more.
It is growing on all of us.
Is there an HR department for this podcast?
I've already been fired. I snuck in here. What do you classify?
Because I have thoughts.
You got to take his badge when he leaves. Yeah. You got to take his badge.
Yeah, that's the trick. I remembered the code. Change the code, too. Please. I had both the card and the code. There are a lot of modern monsters that I'm sure we're going to discuss. And I include 20th century on in that. But what about something like the Loch Ness Monster? Do those warrant discussion? Are we staying
in the realm of pop culture? I think cryptozoological is a good, because obviously being from the UK, we have a rich heritage of monsters and dragons.
Who are the UK monsters?
Well, we got Nessie, obviously. Oh, sure. Classic. Yes, yeah. We got like your Beast of Bodmin. We've got a lot of giants. There's a lot of giants going on. We've got like really weird ones like Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
Jeff?
It sounds like an Adult Swim show. You know that Hal does voices for.
Oh
my God.
I'm just going to sidebar and just say, look up Jeff the Talking Mongoose. Go down a Wikipedia hole, enjoy yourself. But yeah, I wouldn't call Jeff the Talking Mongoose a monster, you see. I don't know what he is. He tells jokes. He sounds like he's a lot of fun.
Sounds great.
He was a monster.
I want to go back because something that Hal said, he mentioned 20th century sort of pop culture monsters. But I think that if we are going to figure out what a monster is, I think it's important to go to the root of where that comes from. And thanks to a little bit of online digging, monstrum in Latin, the root word for it is a portent. So going back, it's monsters being anything out of the ordinary. And then, you know, you go in mythology, whether it's a combination animal and human, like a centaur, or a combination of two other animals, like a griffin, which is, I think, a lion and an eagle, or anything with a crazy, like giant, like you mentioned, giants. Somebody's huge, massive, or a cyclops, which has one eye. There's some Sphinx. Amazing medieval ones that I found through this. Going into the Middle Ages, now I want to try and find exactly the name of these.
When we get the side podcast, Mark Googles things.
No. No, it's called Mark Has Windows Open.
It's just how fast these things also pop up in my search results.
Yeah.
Mark, what's a good sectional for an apartment? Like a
hold on a second.
I'm looking for a new sofa.
Just off the top of my head. Let me scroll real quick. Scroll off the top of my head.
Right, yes.
IKEA.com. The Cyopodes is one of my favorites. These are medieval European monsters because up until Frankenstein came out, monsters never spoke for themselves. Before then, it was just weird imaginative things that lived outside of your immediate area. So you would hear about things from foreign lands. Cyopodes, by the way, a human with one leg, but 2 feet on the end of that one leg.
Oh.
And blemmiae, which are headless humans with eyes and mouths on their chests.
Well, I think that wins, right? So what are we going to do for the rest of the podcast?
Wasn't that one of the characters on, what was the name of that show? Oops, All Monsters? Something like that.
Yeah. Real Monsters.
Real Monsters.
Oops, All Monsters. Oops, All Monsters.
Yeah. Oops, All Monsters is the,
that sounds like a hashtag.
That's Captain Crunch gone wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually Captain Crunch only has some monsters, but once a year.
What? It's two scoops of monster.
Right. Two scoops of monster.
Yeah. So do you guys want to go back and like
do cryptozoological monsters?
Yeah. That's my question. Like if we're determining what does it mean to be a monster?
I feel like the elephant in the room, which is not a monster, is that if you're doing movies, essentially the best movie monsters are, the real monster is always man, ultimately. Yeah, that is the best. Whereas actual weird myths we made up to explain spooky noises and stuff sounds more fun. Like otherwise we're just going to go, oh yeah. Jaws, well, that was man.
Right.
Jurassic Park, that was man. Alien, it was man. Man was the best
the corporation,
one.
Sure.
Frankenstein was man.
We're talking real monsters.
Yeah.
Eileen Wuornos.
I'm not going to do that.
You bring up an interesting point, though, if monsters, because a lot of the monsters from Frankenstein onward, there was the monster itself, but the creator of the monster was
right. Yes,
more frequently the villain as well.
Yeah, I think you've got to get into your and then it's like, are we talking aliens or monsters? Is the thing a monster? Is alien a monster?
The xenomorph, sure.
All the Doctor Who monsters, which are mostly aliens, I think, are Muppets monsters.
I have one. I have one in my head. I'm glad you said Muppets. That immediately came to mind, which is not just Cookie Monster, but specifically when he's Alistair Cookie. It might be my
favorite. I don't think I've seen that.
I've never seen Alistair Cookie.
Oh, he hosted Monster Peace Theater, which is where Grover would do his near and far. And he would, so he'd have Cookie Monster in his smoking jacket with an ascot and a pipe sitting on the set. He's like, me, Alistair Cookie. And then at the end, he would eat the pipe as if it were a cookie.
No.
But very om nom nom nom. Yeah. I mean, just.
That's a solid piece of business.
Yeah. It's fancy Cookie Monster. It's Milano Monster.
Oh, yeah. Big Zaddy energy coming from him.
Of course.
Well, Elmo's a monster as well, isn't he?
Yeah, sure.
Elmo talks about Elmo's preferred pronoun is Elmo. Elmo talks about being a monster.
I guess, I definitely like, we're talking about ultimate monsters. If we're talking broad categories, I would make a case for kaiju as, best, most satisfying kind of monster. And then within that category, this might be a little bit Western of me, but I think I would say King Kong, ultimate kaiju. So that was kind of one of my thoughts going into this. I have a couple of monsters that are dear to me. But yeah, I think you could make a case for Kong as ultimate monster.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that making it about kaiju kind of fits the criteria for these sort of classical ideas of what a monster is. It is huge, grotesque, lives not near where we are.
Sure.
We don't quite understand what it is. It is woefully misunderstood. And in the case of Kong, we don't necessarily, like some monsters are just there to be scary. Kong is there to be sympathetic, which, the great monsters are, I think.
Is the IRL version of King Kong then Bigfoot or Sasquatch?
Yeah,
as Americans, is that how you feel about him? Like that he could be real and the hunt for him and the mythology and all that feels like King Kong comes from that myth.
Yeah, and that maybe, like, if we found him, he would be our friend, as in Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would that live documentary, with us. I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Until we have to slap him back to his home to avoid getting him.
Right. Get out of here. No. Yeah. Go home. Get out of here.
When he got started as an actor, that he thought, one day I'm going to get to punch Bigfoot on camera. That would be the highlight of a long and wonderful career that continues to this day, but like never better than go home, you bastard, and then punching Bigfoot in his face.
Are you too good for your home? Oh, that scene. Oh, it's such a heartbreaker.
I've only seen the 30 Rock parody, and I feel like if I actually watched the film.
Yeah, you have basically. No need to. Yeah. Or like Ian McKellen, like, magnetoing up the Golden Gate Bridge like when he was like when he's playing Richard the Third, he's like, soon I will get to we'll get to flex my hand and raise a bridge.
So let's stick on kaiju for a few minutes.
Sure, yeah. Can someone make a case for better kaiju? I mean, Godzilla obviously.
Godzilla's amazing, yeah.
Sure.
What's the kaiju Hydra's name?
Ghidorah. What is it? Which one is it?
Ghidorah. King Ghidorah, or later Mecha King Ghidorah. But let's do for simplicity's sake.
There's a lot of modifiers throwing on there.
Monster Zero. Yeah. You could also say Monster Zero.
Hmm.
This is not my monster genre. Come back when we're doing Doctor Who, and
that's fair.
Yeah. Who's Sarah? Obviously, you're a Who type. Is
Whovian? No, but I'm friends with them. Yeah.
Helen Mark, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Whoiverse?
I do not know the Whoiverse.
I know a little bit. I know the lady who is skin stretched over a frame. I know her.
Yeah, Cassandra. Mm-hmm. Cassandra. Who had lived forever until she was just a face. That's pretty cool. Like
the last living person. Isn't that her deal?
And that was pretty good. I want to say it was Dame Judi Dench, and it might not be, but it's someone awesome like that played her. Yeah, the best who I don't let me take the conversation away from
I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, but the Doctor Who monsters were always the best were the ones that were the worst ones, that was the shittiest ones. Like in the 80s we had monsters like the Candyman, whose terrifying thing was that he was made of sweets.
Yeah.
And if please Google Candyman Doctor Who, it's the shittiest monster you've ever seen, but was therefore terrifying. Like the Daleks were and therefore terrifying. Like, how is this scary? Because of the human imagination.
That sounds like 80s Batman villain lazy.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Oh, totally.
Kite Man.
Condom and
King. Which is real, all real.
The counter. He counts everything.
Calendar Man.
Who is Condiment King? That's a real one?
He's a guy with ketchup and mustard, and he's in the Lego Batman movie, and as the Joker says, worth a Google. And it's true. It's a real Batman villain. I've watched Lego Batman movie about 4,000 times. If anyone's Googled Candyman, can I share screen for Kelly? I'm going to show you a link to Candyman.
Hold on. Let me allow to share screen. How do I do that?
Hang on. But these are the kind of monsters that we grew up with.
That's the Candyman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a person under there, or is that all puppet?
I'm assuming that's a person in there.
When you said it was made out of sweets, I guess I assumed like, a person made of candy that still seemed like a scary monster. This looks like you gave a kid a bottle of glue and a Halloween basket and said, draw a face.
Are we all cool with Candyman winning?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For those who don't have the visual, it's candy with a K.
Right. Well, it is not the Tony Todd Candyman.
Right.
No. No beans
involved. That added an extra layer of terror to that when I was a teenager.
When that movie came out, if you were like, Candyman, 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 and then sweets come barging through the door.
Hello, everyone. I'm assuming that's what he sounds like.
I have some sweets.
If you leave me in the fog, I'll melt.
All candy-based people sound like Edwin.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if it's that particular Candyman is our winner.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But that's another, is Candyman the film Candyman? That's not a monster, right? That's a ghost.
He's a person, sort of a ghost.
He's a person ghost.
A spirit of revenge.
Okay. Is the thing a monster?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think so. John Carpenter's the thing. Yeah.
But it's an alien.
I think alien counts because it seems to me like if we're using the classical definition of what a monster is, it is a grotesque thing that scares us or that is unfamiliar to us, that is somehow outside of our sphere. And if it does represent a deviation from the norm, you know what I mean? Like life is good. A monster comes in and changes things.
Yeah.
A hero changes things back to the previously good status quo.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think the thing just does a spectacular job of like encompassing all the monster themes. It has
all the monsters.
Alien from another world, but then it also has the monster is man and it's among
us. Monster's man. Classic. Yeah.
And then it just has like crazy tooth and claw thing that'll f you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
all the films, which I like, which is why it's one of my favorite films, because it's like five films. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like about 15 to 20 years ago, they came out with a video game version of The Thing.
Really? And
what they did brilliantly was that the character you played had a paranoia level that would increase. Which
that's
is
great.
The beauty of The Thing is you don't know who The Thing is.
Yeah.
With something like Alien, you know the xenomorph's not dressing up in Tom Skerritt's hat. To get closer, it's just gonna go devour you.
It's a metaphor for McCarthyism.
Good monsters are.
I guess there's an element. I guess in Aliens, there's an element of like, do you have the egg in you? Like, are you pregnant with one of the babies?
Right.
And then I guess there's when I watched Alien the other day, the first time in a while, and I'm like, oh, there's also some robot in this. There's also like the robot on the ship who turns against them. So there's also like technology will kill us. Anyway, a lot of stuff. Alien's good. Cold take, huh?
Alien. Speaking of monstrous robots on the ship that are going to kill us all, is Hal in fact a monster?
I'd say no. Creature Workshop is involved, so no.
Yeah,
but this is my remit.
It's an evil robot. I don't think it's a monster.
I want to put out, just because it was such a game changer, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like we're just sort of freewheeling until we narrow it down to a few finalists. And our finalists right now seem to be Kong and The Thing. Mm-hmm. I would like to add another to the mix. I would like to say Frankenstein's monster because it's grotesque. It's created by the real monster of The Thing, Dr. Frankenstein.
Sure.
But it also is, it's the first example of a monster speaking for themselves and like a monster giving a monster's point of view. That to me is fascinating because, you know, monsters were always just scary things on the outside. So I guess in that way, it doesn't necessarily represent the unknown in the way that other monsters do. But I just wanted to throw that out there because I think that is such a cool and fascinating part of monster history, that then monsters started speaking for themselves after that.
Yeah.
You got Hyde and you got Dracula and you got, you know what I mean?
That's a great point. A great point. Yeah. I think including Frankenstein is a good idea. And, you know, I think to Sarah's point, like obviously, you know, humanoid made of corpses, but you know,
totally a monster though. Like, I mean, it's called The Creature in the book and, you know, created by a woman. And also but probably the most iconic in terms of things that have been inspired by it in terms of like, what's it? You call it Frankenberry? You've got like cereal.
Cereal.
We all know flat top scars, green skin.
Folds on the neck.
It's like you can. It's
tastes
it's
like strawberry.
It's an iconic creature. Yeah. Is that what it tastes like?
Yeah.
We have Freaky Feet, which were yogurts that had little feet on them with Frankenstein, and you had a pink vampire and Frankenstein's monster.
But they're Freaky footprints feet. Only, though. Not actual monsters.
So again,
what I'm picturing is the yogurt is the body that has little feet.
Like a tub of yogurt, or just like yogurt.
There you go. Oh, the Frankenstein was pink. Oh, cute. Fiendish feet. I'm sending you a link there. So yeah, the pond. Yeah, fiendish is a very British word.
Oh, you fiends, you dastardly fiends.
Fiendish. But yeah, a little yogurt pot. But the fact that you could do that, that was our equivalent of Frankenbrew. The fact that you just with a not even green, it was just a line of stitches. You know, I think I'm going to be half persuaded out of Frankenstein now, although I want to keep talking about this.
Maybe a good way to kind of add some combatants to this. I'm curious to know who actually scared everybody as a kid. When you were a kid, what scared you?
The aliens from Cocoon, because I thought if I got into a pool that they would drag me into a cocoon because I hadn't seen it. And later on, I apologized to everybody, especially Don Ameche. It's a wonderful movie. But I thought that those aliens are like, they will kill me. So when I'm at Somerton Springs, I better make sure I'm in 3 feet of water or less so I can see the floor.
They were such good aliens, though, because they were just white light, which I don't know if that's easy or hard to achieve. Like, that's one of those visual effects where you look at it now and you go, was that really easy to do or really hard to do? Has anyone seen Attack the Block?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, that has a great monster in it, but it's essentially the opposite of that monster, all the lights removed, and I never know if that's a cheap effect to do, but yeah, cool monsters in Cocoon, definitely.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at fiendish feet. This Frankenstein's monster looks miserable. It's not horrible, though, right? Any of the yogurt inside of it.
Why was I created? Why was I given life? Only to be eaten.
A goth invented me on the worst weekend ever, and 200 years later, we're now eating yogurt out of my head. The origin story for Frankenstein is just beautiful. That weekend where she wrote that story is so horrible when you read the details of it.
And
she's just lost a child, and she's there having an affair, probably with her stepsister who's there with them. They may be in a threesome. It may be a really joyless love triangle. It's hard to tell. Byron's there being a prick. They all take laudanum. It's an amazing story.
It's like bonkers.
It's so good.
I like the idea.
It's so goth as well.
I like the idea of just a routine joyless threesome. It's like, okay.
That's fine.
It's tonight.
So Mary Shelley has just lost her virginity. She wasn't called Mary Shelley then. Mary Wollstonecraft has just lost her virginity to Percy Shelley on her mother's grave, because that's how goth she is.
Whoa.
Then she runs away with Shelley and her stepsister. His wife is unhappy about this and kills herself. The three of them go off to stay with Lord Byron on the summer, what's it called? The Summer of No Light or something like that. But they're in this like holiday cottage together, this little group. Byron wants to sleep with his stepsister. He's promised that Mary Wollstonecraft out to his friend who's a doctor there. And it's this like episode of Frasier. It's like the ski lodge episode of Frasier, where it's like everyone's running between each other's bedrooms. And in the middle of all this, someone says, let's write ghost stories. And Mary, funnily enough, in the midst of all this, she writes Frankenstein. And someone else, what's his name? The doctor there, I can't remember his name, but he writes the book that will eventually become Vampire, which eventually becomes Dracula. So.
Oh.
The origin story of Frankenstein is so much more scary than.
Yeah. It's amazing that the novel Frankenstein is the most memorable thing from that weekend.
Yeah.
Because somebody's Dracula. Like, let's write ghost stories.
Like in between the bang party that's happening.
Yeah, the weird laudanum-based dead baby bang party that's going on. Oh, and he had like peacocks and monkeys running around the whole weekend, Byron. So it's
I mean, if you're going to have your humdrum Tuesday night threesome, you got to spice it up a little.
You got to keep things interesting.
Do you want to just have monkeys and peacocks running around while we're having our party?
I guess.
It was a thing where people would rent the villa across the lake from them to spy on them. They were like celebrities. Like, it's so weird.
What's really crazy is that weekend, the story that came in second was written by Jeff the Talking Mongoose. Rated writer. Almost good enough. Didn't make it.
Freaky feet. Sorry, I derailed. Yeah. What were we?
I was curious who actually scared you as kids, monster-wise. Hal, aliens from Cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the Gremlins. I think the Gremlins are kind of a dark horse contender for best monster.
Yeah.
Man. I didn't even think of Gremlins.
Put the Gremlins on the list.
The Gremlins t-shirt right here in front of me.
Oh,
nice.
The new batch, no less.
The sexy lady Gremlin has kind of become an icon lately. I feel like she is having like
she has a name.
Moment.
Jordan, it's Greta.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. Greta. I'm sorry. I'm Greta. Excuse me.
There you go. Yeah. For God's sake.
Yeah, Greta's having a moment.
Yeah.
I think as a kid, the thing that scared me was because it was one of the first like super scary things I saw was Thriller. And the two things in that scared me.
Yeah.
Zombies walking at me, or in this case, dancing at me. And I've always had an obsession with werewolf transformations.
Okay.
I've always thought they were the coolest and the scariest. And so I guess this is less about what scared me the most and what was the most influential. But those to me were always so fun to watch, whether it was American Werewolf in London or, I mean, both John Landis werewolves.
And both Rick Baker makeup.
Rick Baker makeups. Like, yeah, that was what scared me as a kid. But the, like, zombies scared the hell out of me as a kid. What about you, Sarah, Jordan?
Again, another cold take, but The Nothing from Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
I think we could just say, maybe does everything from the Neverending Story win?
Gamorg is terrifying.
Falcor.
Spider. Falcor is kind of scary.
I was just saying, I was thinking about this, like all the good monsters in Neverending Story, like the when a monster is also part of a landscape, that's terrifying. Like the Scarlet Pit, and which is like a monster that's also a pit.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have any other function. And it's a hit. Speaking of Neverending Story theme.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of things we've Googled, so the Sarlacc pit, the monster actually, you can, there's a diagram of what the monster actually looks like under the pit. I know there's been some argument if the pit is the monster or the monster is just something that lives in the pit. And it is, it's underneath, and you can see a drawing of what it actually looks like under there. Anyway.
Wow. I'm sorry, I've just come.
Yes. Is this the horniest episode of your podcast? Yeah.
When it starts with Zaddy, it has to be.
Yeah. And then descriptions of Star Wars minutia.
Yeah.
Boring goth threesomes.
Who wants to have a ho-hum threesome?
Speaking of underground monsters, a group that were always terrifying were the monsters from Tremors.
I had to leave Tremors as a kid because I was too scared, and we went in to see Always.
Wow, what a switch.
I know. Yeah, I still remember that. I had to leave. I was with Tim Coda, my friend Tim Coda, and I had to tell him, I had to like own up to him that I was too scared to stay, and we left. Yeah, very embarrassing. I was able to sit through Tremors later in life, and it is great. And yeah, and looking back, I was like, oh, that was embarrassing because that is like a comedy. That is a straight up like funny comedy that I was too scared of. But yeah, Tremors, the Graboids, great monsters.
Yeah, yeah, really, really great. By the way, I love the going to see one movie and winding up seeing another. I did the opposite, where I went with my best friend to see Army of Darkness. And neither of us were, or I had just turned 17, something like that, where I could get in, but he couldn't. So instead, we went to see Aladdin.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Darkness.
Nice.
And
equally terrifying.
No regrets.
Great double feature. Goodness. Great double feature.
Yeah, that's the perfect.
Let me ask you this. Because I'm looking at this list that we're starting to craft of monsters. Do you think that our best monster is going to be something that leaves more or less to the imagination? Meaning gremlins, you watch them happen. You see them throughout the movie. Frankenstein's monster comes in and tells you, you see him the whole time. He tells you what's going on. But some of these monsters like the Thing and the monsters from Tremors are the ones that you don't see, are the ones that are outside. Like, I don't think in the movie, the Babadook, I think you see the Babadook one time.
Yeah.
In like a crazy zoom.
Did anyone see The Terror? The AMC series?
No.
Ah, it was on AMC a couple of years ago. It's just one on the UK here. Anyway, there's a spooky monster in that and you don't see it until about 4 hours into the season. And it's a great monster. I'm not going to say anything else. That's it. I was expecting you to go. Oh,
it's also made
great,
of yogurt,
right?
And has
then, and then we talk about how great the fact is that it has human teeth. But I'm not going to spoil it.
Something
it has
Sonic?
Human teeth and eyebrows.
Yeah, something
very like Sonic. Yeah,
something that isn't supposed to have human teeth that has human teeth is really scary. Yeah,
it's disconcerting. Yeah. Like the dog that picked up the old man's dentures in that YouTube video.
Oh, Jesus.
Then they just fit. But when he picked them up exactly correctly to where it looked like the dog had a big grin on his face. It's in my top five.
Or just Pluto, who also has human teeth.
Pluto has human teeth.
Yeah.
Yes. Every time he eats, he's got perfect human teeth.
Okay, so let me add that to the list.
Pluto. The ultimate monster.
No, I love the idea of it being the nothing from the Neverending Story, which is the opposite of all the things you said about, you see it and it's like designed and it's got a mythos. Mm-hmm. It's like just nothing. Is that just horrifying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we add the devil to the list?
Sure.
The John Lovitz version from SNL?
Huh? Yeah.
The John Lovitz.
Oh, I was kidding. There's also a Michael McKean devil.
No, that's
true. When Michael McKean was on the show.
George Burns.
So, yeah. There's a Paul F. Tompkins. Devil. Paul F. Tompkins was the devil in Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny.
That's right.
I'm just going to say Peter Cook and Bedazzled, and I'm not going to say anything else.
No, sure.
I'm going to leave the room.
A lot of great devils out there.
Yeah,
this feels like a whole episode.
Mm-hmm. Sure, best devil.
let's take this devil. Out. Yeah.
Best devil.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so maybe we remove the devil because it's just too complicated, too loaded.
Zone subcategory. Al Pacino in The Devil's Own.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that might be it.
Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada.
Two episodes in one.
And She-Devil? Isn't she also the devil in that?
No, she's an angry woman.
I feel like somebody's the devil in that movie, but I'm sure.
That may be a different film. Like the Life
Roseanne,
was,
right?
The Roseanne one that was based on the Faye Weldon book.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking of. I'm mistaken.
Were you thinking also of Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn in Death Becomes Her as two grotesque monsters, one twisted in half and one with a hole through her belly?
Yes.
I'm never not thinking about Death Becomes Her.
Great movie.
We had that poster hanging in my basement when I was a kid because my brother worked at the movie theater. So we got all of these movie posters and just had like the whole basement filled with movie posters. But Death Becomes Her was always one of those, one of my favorites, just the candelabra through the stomach, like it was.
Yeah,
it was like, just he'd get any poster. So was it?
Oh
like,
yeah,
was it like Death Becomes Her, and then like Hamburger the movie?
We had My Father the Hero.
Nice.
We had the standee, the giant standee of Mr. Wrong.
With Ellen DeGeneres.
So we had like a 5-foot Ellen DeGeneres head, cardboard Ellen DeGeneres head in my basement growing up. Yeah.
You seem fine. So.
But yeah, that is the biggest monster. Yes, what scared me as a kid?
The real
giant
monster
Ellen DeGeneres.
Sure, people who mistreat their staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, the real monster.
The real monster. Yeah, the real monster is
it's
man.
The patriarchy.
Yeah, the real monster
it's
is
trickled
man.
Down into
in all of these.
You know who scared me as a kid that you also kind of don't see, or at least you don't see the real version of? Doom. Judge Doom, I think, like, really scared me, but also we kind of don't know what he looks like anyway.
Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Roger Rabbit, yeah.
When he starts to tune out at the end, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
totally.
Off and
I talk just like this.
I got scared when you did that.
It's so funny because you never see Judge Doom. You only see his eyes poking out of his Christopher Lloyd mask.
And then when
he got it at the Halloween shop.
Exactly. So there's something underneath there and it's scary and you never get to see what it is. Anyway, Judge Doom. I don't know. Up there.
Judge Doom is terrifying.
The cartoon monsters are,
Oh my goodness. All right, hold on. Let's take a quick break. Quick break. We're gonna come back, we'll toss a few more out, and we will come to a decision on this. It's gonna happen.
That's right.
Trust in Zaddy.
We'll be right back.
In 2021, it's finally okay to talk about our mental health, and that's why we're excited to be sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions. They'll match you with a therapist in under 48 hours, and it's easy to change therapists if needed. Remember, you don't need a traumatic event to benefit from therapy. Maybe you're feeling anxious or depressed, or your stress feels like it's too much to manage.
get some tools to cope and make life just a little bit easier.
I can say personally that therapy has been a very effective tool for me in not only managing stress and anxiety, but also learning to be a better communicator and growing as a person. Another thing that's great about BetterHelp is that it's way more affordable than in-person therapy. So see if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And We Got This listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/WeGotThis. That's BetterHelp.com/WeGotThis.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Ethersea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone. Every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The 2021 pin sale has begun. Thank you so much to everyone who participated in the Max Fun Drive. This is the last year for a while that we'll be doing pins for Max Fun Drive, and the fifth year that we'll be selling pins and donating all proceeds to charity. The past year proved what we already knew, that having access to the internet at home is a necessity for work, school, healthcare, and keeping in touch with family and friends. So the proceeds from this year's pin sale will go towards Everyone On, a nonprofit working to bridge the digital divide. We're grateful that with your support, we'll be able to help low-income folks gain access to affordable computers, internet services, and digital literacy programs. The sale will run until May 28th. Folks at the $10 monthly level and above will have access to all of the pins from the drive. That's 38 pins, one from every show on the network. We also have a special 2021 Max Fun Drive pin that all members can purchase. Go to MaximumFun.org/pinsale for more info. And to learn more about Everyone On and support them directly, you can go to EveryoneOn.org.
My heart belongs to Zaddy.
All right. When last we spoke, you mentioned animated monsters. If we're going to do that, we've got to mention Gossamer from Warner Brothers.
Oh, sure.
The monsters are the most interesting people.
Yes.
The giant orange hairy monster.
Jeez.
Who is afraid of the real monster at the end of that cartoon? People.
That's right.
People! And then runs away.
I think we all know where this episode's heading.
I think we do.
Yeah. Gossamer Warner Brothers.
Yeah, you know, he wears sneakers.
Yeah, you'll recognize him when you see him.
He loves getting
heart shapes. Gorgeous.
Yeah, he's beautiful. He gets a haircut.
Has the same air as Sweetums from the Muppets, who is sort of
meant to be scary. I was pretty scared by Sweetums as a kid.
Sweetums was a little terrifying.
So big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. I quite fancy Sweetums.
He looks like a smaller Muppet.
He's a zaddy.
Yeah, there was ever a zaddy.
Sweetums is a zaddy.
Sure.
Mount Rushmore of zaddies.
I hate keep mentioning British things, but did you have the honey monster?
No.
Please keep mentioning British. Are you kidding?
You have honey. I think you call them sugar smacks or honey smacks.
Oh, right.
Yeah, sure.
That are like puffed rice, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And the spokesperson was a chill bear, a very chill bear. Yeah.
Wow.
That talks like Bootsy Collins, right?
Crisp. And then Diggum the Frog is the honey smacks.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So bears and frogs, very big in cereal.
And Muppets.
Yeah.
So in the UK, we had that. They're called Sugar Puffs. Mm-hmm. They had to change their name from Honey Puffs. Mm-hmm. But they were, because we didn't want to fool children thinking they were eating honey. That's better for you.
We went the other way. But yes,
really funny.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like it was like they were called honey Honey Barbs, and they had to change their name. But they were, the spokes creature for them was the Honey Monster, who is, has big sweetums in it. He's like a 7 foot tall, yellow, toothless, which made him sexier for some reason. bear, but like a sexy bear, not an actual animal.
Like a zaddy bear.
Yeah.
A zaddy. Yeah. I mean, again, Google this guy. He's blonde. He's friendly, he's chill, he likes to snack, you know.
He's nothing hotter than a bear.
What's not to like?
Yeah, he's kind of Chewbacca-y, but, you know,
he sounds
anxious.
The Honey Monster to me sounds like what your great aunt calls herself when she first gets to the house and wants to give you hugs.
Ooh, here comes the Honey
Monster. Here comes
monster.
The Honey Monster.
No, stop.
I wish I was a vapor. I don't want these lips on me. Speaking of, you know, we mentioned monsters in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Chewbacca now. We mentioned Sarlacc.
Yeah, it's Chewbacca monster.
What about the Rancor monster?
Rancor's a good monster. I mean, it is like, so it is fucking, someone designed the hell out of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very scary, very memorable.
He's kind of like Kong in that he's just living the best version of the life that he's been given and is completely giant and misunderstood.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the politics of Tatooine. He sees a snack.
Like, no, exactly.
Dropping food down here. Great.
Sure, he gets to eat the occasional pig man that falls down there.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, haven't you ever been in a like buffet and seen the shrimp cocktail and looked down and gone, you know what? I really don't care if that shrimp didn't like that shrimp and that shrimp was fighting against the army of this shrimp. I'm just going to eat these shrimp.
I know that was a hypothetical, but yes, I think that all the time. I constantly think about that when I'm at a buffet. So
so is that how we whittle down what a monster is? Is if it's intently evil versus just doing its thing? Like Jaws is doing his thing.
I think this might be a fun way to do it. Let's think of a few questions. I want to narrow this down a little bit. So I'm going to throw out, and please throw them out if you think of them as well, some binary questions that might help us narrow this down. I'll use one that we mentioned earlier. Do we think that the best monster is going to be something that we see and is in front of us, or is something that is not seen except maybe briefly? Or in the case of these medieval monsters, never, ever seen.
My instinct is to say that, like, you know, like a Babadook, like a Tremor, you know, obviously part of the filmmaking or the technique of the movie is not to see it, but you do see it eventually. And I think for what we're doing here, you do want to see it eventually because that is part of its appeal. Because, you know, when you do see those things, they are cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think I'm okay eliminating things we never see. Even though they are scary, if we were to see them, maybe they look lame. So,
I agree. That
like the bunny from Fluffy from Tales from the Dark Side.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
It's like, it's just a terrifying darkness in the corner. Every once in a while, you know, a claw kills a person or someone gets sucked into it. But then you see the crew from the movie, like, hey, here's the scary monster that we made. And it's a giant bunny with fangs. You're like, come on.
That's a good gag.
Yeah, pretty funny. Do we think that the greatest monster is something that was created or something that was born that way?
It's a good question. I don't know that it needs to be a criteria because there could be something built that meets more of the criteria than something that was born.
There's also those creatures that split the difference, like Jurassic Park. Are man-made,
sure,
but the real monster is man. Right. And if they were just left to do their thing, having been man-made, they would just be. They'd do their thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
And our dinosaurs, monsters. Oh god! Oh god!
Oh boy!
No, they're birds.
Yeah, sure.
It's true. The real monsters are birds.
Yeah, I think born and created can sit side by side in this.
Yeah. Okay. I'm running out of binary questions then.
Evil or not evil, I think, is a binary in this.
Evil or misunderstood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Like, is the best movie monster, does it want to kill you or does it want to just find a warm place to lay its eggs, which is, you know, can cause just as much destruction? But
I like a little stank on my monsters. I like them to have, like, I think what's great about the gremlins is they're just agents of chaos.
Yeah.
So if they want to.
Oh, and if we're throwing in aliens, then monster, what's it called? Mars Attacks. That's a great monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty great monsters.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Do not run. We are your friends. still very funny.
I can't let Cookie Monster go because I think about him all the time. And
yeah.
I also love cookies. But he doesn't meet a lot of these criteria, but he also is deeply entrenched in culture internationally. Mm-hmm. So everybody, like, as great as Jeff the Talking Mongoose is, just heard about him.
He has a more regional appeal.
Regional appeal.
Like indie.
So he's
an indie monster.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Oh, you haven't heard of him.
Yeah.
He only plays little clubs. He only releases music on cassette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you went with his popular scare? Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Sure. His early scares are way scarier. But
his early stuff. Yeah.
But you, no. Buy his popular scare. Go for that one. Scream at that.
John Cusack has a whole monologue about him in High Fidelity.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's something to the extent to which a monster has penetrated. Like the kaiju, everybody knows who they are. So that is a criteria that they meet. It doesn't have to be the number one, but I think it has to be a monster that's well known, at least.
Yeah.
And maybe loves cookies?
So is it maybe worth taking out the deep cuts who have failed to, you know, because obviously, like, Judge Doom, very scary for me as a kid, but, you know, the Roger Rabbit averse is very contained to the early 90s.
But everyone is in it. Popeye's in it. Bugs Bunny's in it. Mickey Mouse is in it.
It holds up great, but I think we can eliminate stuff like that kind of stuck to our particular childhoods or someone's particular childhood because, you know, not as influential. I think that's fair.
I think that's great. We'll find a monster that has scared the most people.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Oh, wow. That's,
Which unfortunately, and that's another thing. Like, it is a monster. It could go without saying, but I don't necessarily think it does because we have a couple of these on here. Scary versus not scary. Sure. Because Gossamer is not scary. Cookie Monster is not scary. All the Muppet versions of monsters are not scary. I think we got to go with a scary one, though.
Yeah, I think, intentionally scary or not intentionally scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as much as I'm sad to lose the honey monster.
Sure.
We all are.
Here comes the honey monster.
The honey monster and Candyman are having a three-way with Mary Shelley.
And it is very routine. It's very by the numbers.
Oh, it's so vanilla.
Get this done.
It has just occurred to me as to why our culture is such up teeth is because all of our spokes creatures and scary things are
also candy.
Sugar based.
Yeah, I think can we eliminate all snack mascots from the list?
I guess. So Frankenstein's monster is still on the list, but Frankenberry is no longer on the list.
Yeah. Frankenberry and Freakish Feet,
And a special shout out to Fruit Brute, who nobody talks about.
Oh, Fruit Brute.
Discontinued. And Yummy Mummy, is that one too?
Yummy Mummy, Boo Berry as well.
Boo Berry's classic. Yeah. Count Chocula classic.
Of course, Count Chocula.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I think just because the list is so big, what if each of us came up with a finalist and then we just chose among those four?
Yeah.
I think that sounds great. Pitch your finalist, people.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go. My finalist is Kong. And here is why. I think he hits the most targets. He was very memorably designed. That original Kong still looks cool. If you watch that movie, it is a cool looking movie. You know, that stop motion still looks great. But also you have, kind of the theme of that, like, well, maybe we could be friends with this thing if we, as people, we're not such entitled brutes, but he can also whip ass if he needs to. And, that thing gets remade or sequeled basically every 10 years, I think, without too many interruptions. And I think that's my case for Kong. Very influential, very cool, and, a lot of themes contained within.
Love it.
Very good. Sarah?
Well, I'm going to, well, thing is, I want to say Frankenstein because I think the conversations we've been having have just been flawless. It is transcended. It's gone from, you know, female creative sci-fi story to this thing that we now associate with serials. It's had a million things. It's so iconic. You can do it in a color and a line of scars. It scared people for generations. However, I still want to say man. I want to say the real monster's man.
Sure.
Because if you go back to everything we've talked about, you've got your Greek classics, you've got your Arthurian legends, Scandinavian legends, all about these amazing monsters in the woods, things you can't see, things you can't see. Real monster's man in pretty much all of those stories. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like neat. But Frankenstein.
Well, Alf, you are saying man.
I
completely agree with.
Mankind.
I am going to say, I will say Frankenstein's monster then because.
Yeah. Frankenstein's monster. But also, you know, he was created by a man called Frankenstein. So his surname is Frankenstein.
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly.
His surname's Frankenstein.
Exactly.
His name was Steve. His name is Steve Frankenstein.
Steve,
his dad was Dr. Frankenstein. Dr. Frankenstein is my father's name.
They call me Steve.
Also, he was kind of a monster because he's.
Sure.
Yeah. And was a man.
And was a man.
But yeah, I think Frankenstein's monster, specifically because of the game changer that it was, that it launched gothic monsters. It gave the concept of a monster a voice and became the scary, you know, I think it fills the misunderstood and the scary and the allegorical and the all of those things. It's like a smaller Kong that can talk. Hal?
Oh man. I kind of want to, I feel like I can't come up with one that will compete. So I want to say Marjorie, the trash heap from Fraggle Rock, but I'm not going to do that.
She was terrifying. I was legit
very
scared
scary.
Of Marjorie.
Very
she,
scary.
Her eyes were
that
just hollow tubes.
Yeah.
The weird thing is I have a picture of her in my photo roll from like 2 days ago.
What? Oh, she was hanging out? Weird. She came over?
Because someone on a TV show I was watching was wearing a very bad dress, and I sent that to a friend of mine in a group text. So that was a kind of a weird little, like, whoa.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you already have that in the hopper, or did you Google it? And if you Googled it,
Googled
did you
it.
Google Marjorie, the, like,
no, I didn't
how much
know
of it did you remember?
I know. She has a name. I didn't remember it.
I didn't know until right now. Yeah.
Easy. No.
But the girl Gremlin is called Greta.
Oh, amazing.
I think I'm going to go with, I'm kind of torn between two. I feel like we don't talk about the gremlins enough as a society. So I'm going to throw them in there, not only because they are terrifying and an example of, again, the real villain of that film is man who incorrectly treat like.
That's true. They didn't follow the rules.
Mogwai, didn't care for the Mogwai properly. Got the Mogwai wet. Fed up,
ignored the rules that make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's always after midnight.
the time zone thing.
they're terrifying murderers. They're smart enough at least to try to avoid the way that you would kill them. But also, in the second film, we got to see the lighter side of all of
that's
their film
true.
Critics.
They have the voice of Tony Randall occasionally.
They have the voice of Tony Randall. They work across the gender spectrum. So there's, you know, there's a lot of depth.
They're inclusive.
They go electric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slimy waters run deep is what I'm saying. So I'm going to go with the gremlins collectively, all of them.
Collectively all gremlins.
Wow. The only contender on that list that didn't get picked was the Thing. Sorry, the Thing. You're not going to play softball with us today in the monster yard.
Honorable mention.
I could talk about the Thing for hours, I think it comes under Alien. Next time, if you ever do best scary alien as opposed to best nice alien, which I feel like are two different podcasts.
Best nice alien.
I have very little on at the moment, if you ever.
No,
I will. Nice alien.
Hey, you guys just want to record your next month of episodes now?
Let's go.
Just adjective plus alien.
Put on some coffee. We're going to be here.
Sexiest
all night.
Alien.
Knuckle crack.
The thing only. The fact that none of these things have got a creature. Oh, no, it's Gremlins has creature. Right? Of course it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So ignore me.
Okay. How do we decide between these four? Mark?
I don't know. I'm looking at them right now. I think they're all really solid choices. I think Kong is iconic. Frankenstein's monster's iconic. I think the gremlins are hilarious and scary and fun. I don't know. For me personally, looking at this, like literally every monster we have talked about can all trace back to one place. And I think Sarah's right.
That might, I think.
As almost cliche as that sounds for what is the worst monster episode and the answer is man. It sounds like it sounds like we are inelegantly writing our own gothic novel during a weekend foursome.
Sure.
Can we play that clip from Futurama's Scary Door? Where, does everyone remember this?
Yeah.
What is this?
You know, Futurama, they had this thing called The Scary Door that was a parody of
Twilight Zone. Oh, God. Scary Door. It makes sense.
Yeah. I'm a link in the show notes. You can play this to yourself, please.
We know you have your phone out when you're listening to this.
I feel like I derailed that because, I just kind of assumed that everyone would go, oh, yeah, that Futurama thing. Jordan.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Twilight Zone parody, and then just at the end of one of the episodes within an episode, you very lazily cut to a guy saying, "The monster is man."
It's a scientist saying, could someone just click on this? I would literally have it queued up at the right point if I just put this here. There you go. 16 seconds. Yes. If you hit that bottom one I just put there,
I'm going to fire it up.
You're on a scenic route through a state recreation area known as the Human Mind. You ask a passerby for directions, only to find he has no face or something. Suddenly up ahead, a door in the road. You swerve, narrowly avoiding the scary door.
I have combined the DNA of the world's most evil animals to make the most evil creature of them all.
It turns out it's man.
There you go.
Futurama figured it out before we did.
I like this. I think it's a good solution. I think it basically encompasses everyone's answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad I didn't get to bring up the Predator. I had the Predator chamber.
Oh,
I think talking about. So either we can just pivot.
Come those aliens.
Yeah, I know.
Bad aliens. For the bad aliens episode.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to do Predator versus Alien as really subtle in a way that
good idea.
Yeah. Hey,
nobody.
I'm an executive from a studio.
Copyright Zaddy. Yeah.
Hello, Hollywood H. Moneybags. We've got Hal Lublin on the line.
Moneybags, baby. I got a killer one for you. Alien v. Predator, AVP, coming your way this summer.
No? Whoever wins, lose.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, we lose. I forgot.
Oh, my God.
It's a great tag.
It's a good tag.
The comic was good.
Yeah, everything about that is great except the movie.
Oh, people of the world.
Yeah.
We laid all these criteria out for you. We said all these things. It wasn't going to be man. It wasn't going to be man. But guess what? In true monster fashion, the monster is man. And the people who chose the monster was man. In the general, people, humans.
Mankind.
Mankind is the true monster. We are the Tony Stark of the Marvel Cinematic Universe of life. We create our own villains everywhere we go. And then we blame them for it? No. It's on us. Team Cap. Asked and answered. Sorry, I went another way with that.
That was great.
Yeah, how did we wind up?
I was like, is he reading that? When did he write that? That was...
I've always got Team Cap chambered. It's always ready to go.
Yeah.
Jordan Morris, Sarah Morgan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Very excited about the graphic novel.
Yes, the Bubble graphic novel. You can listen to the podcast in its entirety. Now, use that as the primer while you're pre-order the graphic novel and listen to all of Bubble. And then when you get the graphic novel, you'll be ready to expand your experience.
I love this. This is a great plan. Bubble, you can pre-order it wherever you get your books or comic books. Indie Bookshop may be a good place to pre-order that. You can call them up right now. Helps them during a kind of a crummy time for that particular business sort. But also, if you want to get it from an online retailer, we're not going to yell at you. Yeah, and we're going to have some cool stuff available for people who pre-order it. I don't think we've said exactly what that stuff is, but there will be benefits to doing that.
Ooh.
Thank you. We're proud of it. And there are a lot of cool monsters in this.
Yeah.
Oh, and they get killed. Oh, they get killed
in such a
cool way. Yeah, it's great. Our artist, Tony Cliff, is just great if you're familiar with his work. It's quite beautiful. And yeah, I think it's cool. There's a lot of sex jokes. There's a lot of swears. So maybe don't give it to a kid. But if you're a discerning adult comic consumer, Bubble, way to go.
Well, check it out. Thank you so much for coming and talking monsters with us today. This topic is closed, but there are many more topics to discuss. So please reach out to us on Twitter at We Got This Tweets, or
you can email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com, or come talk monsters with us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/groups/WeGotThisPodcast. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, researcher Kate McManus, graphic designer Uri Kelman, and QA engineer Jen Alba.
And thanks, of course, to our musicians, Jonathan Dinerstein and Mike Furman, for our score and theme song, respectively. And thanks to you, the people of the world, for giving us a chance to sit down with Jordan and Sarah and have a delightful conversation. Four of the world's most terrifying monsters. Four humans having a conversation with one another.
We have the potential for such evil.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For Hal Loveland, I'm Mark Gagliardi.
And for Mark Gagliardi, I'm Zaddy. And don't worry, everybody.
We got this.
We got this. Best monster. This, Alistair Cookie.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.